Do you know how powerful you are? Welcome to Rise Urban Nation.
Welcome everybody to Rise Urban Nation.
Reshaping and elevating your mindset to help you achieve what you believe.
Sometimes we don't even see our own greatness. You can't be what you can't see.
And connecting Black cultures to build a community of talent and success.
Black people need to realize that they are assets. You are an asset.
When we rise, you rise.
Come together as a group.
This is Rise Urban Nation with Terrell Simmons.
Hello, hello, testing 1, 2, 3. What's up? What's going on, everybody? All my runners out there, it's your host Terrell Simmons. Welcome to the episode of Rise Urban Nation. This next guest I got, Kia Edwards, is just a phenomenal being. Kia, what can I say? Kia is a human resources learning development practitioner, an EDUpreneur, a community activist, and she's a village mother. You know, she's a proud wife and mom of two boys, ages 6 and 3. And, you know, after all of the parenting at home, she you can usually find her out there doing some activities in her in-home licensed daycare. And she found her second career in education after really graduating from HBCU, Clark Atlanta University. So as a first generation college student from her household, she really understands the importance of higher education and bridging the gap regarding generational wealth. And she aims to do that with all the different, you know, talent and development stuff that she does in HR and in the community. So I'm excited to get this episode going with her and learn about her journey. And then hopefully you learn from her journey as well and how to turn that little side hustle to a full blown business, or maybe two businesses by the time you finish listening to this episode. So tune in. Here's Kia Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Rise Urban Nation. This is family in the building right here. She got the big Africa earrings rocking and the bandana. She about to take us to the motherland right now.
All the way in San Diego.
All the way in San Diego. Miss Edwards, how are you on this fine? I almost about to say Sunday, but I forgot it's Monday.
No, this is a holiday. I'm blessed. I am truly grateful. Thank you for this opportunity. How are you?
Yes. We've been fam ever since day one when we got connected. You know what? I forget our origin story. How did we meet? Refresh my memory.
Yeah. So you were the orientation trainer for the County of San Diego when I started as a staff development specialist.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, really, before the pandemic took off, 2020, January.
Man, can you believe it's been that long now?
Jeez. No, and all that we've accomplished in that amount of time and things that could have distracted us but didn't.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle, you know, whatever you believe in, God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Mother Earth, the divine intuition, it got us here. Mm-hmm. But we here now.
Yep. And you can't stop us.
Can't stop what we destined to do exactly. In this work of equity, diversity, inclusion. So we're going to get in a nice little conversation with Miss Edwards today, talk about her career growth and so forth. But let me dial it back a little bit, because, you know, some people are like, who is Miss Edwards? And for the people who don't know you, who is Kia? Like, and you can go wherever you want to go with that. Give the people the introduction.
That's really good, because Kia is from Dakia, which is from Zakia. My mom got that name from Zakia, and Zakia is Arabic for highly intelligent. So Kia is someone that has to shorten her name so that people can pronounce it correctly, to Kia. But in terms of the intelligence piece, I don't look at that necessarily as always grades and academics, but more just making wise choices, being intentional about the things that I get involved in, the people I connect with, and just doing meaningful work in the community and in my home. I would say that fosters, or that is an example of intelligence. Beyond that, you know, the typical, it's not necessarily typical for everyone, but I am a mother of two underage 6-year-old boys. They are very active, and you may hear them this evening. I am a wife to a fellow HBCU graduate who he and I tend to joke about being a house divided because I went to Clark Atlanta University and he went to Grambling State University. And so we tend to battle on whose HBCU is the best. And I'm a native San Diegan. So even though I left and came back, and then left again and came back again a couple of times by way of Atlanta, Georgia. I am very passionate about my Southeast San Diego family. I went to Valencia Park. And so I have been doing community service in San Diego since I returned. Some of my little just philanthropy resume is inclusive of United Negro College Fund. I recently, in the past couple of years, chartered the white paper for July's Uterine Fibroid Awareness Month, along with another sorority sister. To the sorority note, I am a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Okay.
A new member of Jack and Jill. And the list just goes on the things that I am socially and activist-wise in the community, all nice. Wrapped up in a chef and, you know, laundry and Chuck E. Cheese runs and
wait, I ain't know about the chef part. I'm gonna have to come sample.
Yes. I mean, I make a mean macaroni and cheese, but like you know what I mean. Like for the kids, like it's just you know. I just got out of the kitchen, so yeah.
Okay. I ain't Chef perfect, Curry up there definitely. Cooking up in the pot.
Yeah. I mean, so you know, us moms, we tend to feel like we got like 17 plates at the same time, in addition to all that other stuff I just shared. I am also a new entrepreneur of Champion Instructors Education and Training, which I'm sure we're going to get into.
Yeah, we're going to dive into that in just a second. Man, I learned so, like, every time I think we reconnect, I learn something new about you. Now I learned a whole token of stuff new about you. First of all, how did your mom come up with that name? Like, did she find it somewhere? Did it get, is it from grandma, great grandma? Like, how did that come to be?
I think my grandmother had a friend named Zakia. And okay. She was Muslim, and that the name with the K-I-Y-Y-A-H, that spelling, is Arabic for highly intelligent. So she just put the D-E in front and just, you know, gave me all those letters as well. But I, ironically, too, I was raised in a, is the word bi, can you say bi religion or dual religion? So my mother was Christian. My stepfather was Muslim. So I did practice some Islam growing up. And then we also went to church too. So I think that my name is very special, even though, you know, I grew up in that environment where it was like twofold.
Man, I love it. I love us some us because we just so creative. Shout out to all the Black moms out there setting us on paths of purpose with some acknowledged, not even some may have realized it. Some may have not have realized it just from the start of birth. Like my mom put the Y in Terrell, spelled it all differently. And gave us like just names and powerful names that set us on this trajectory that we didn't even know we were on until we get later on in life.
That you have to stand up to. And, even you speaking to this name conversation, it took some years for me to even like my name. I didn't truly like even saying my real name until I went to my HBCU. It was no longer embarrassing. It was no longer too many letters. It was no longer a joke. I learned to correct people when it was said incorrectly, you know, and so I attribute a lot of that going to an HBCU and just being unapologetic about my name not being Christian or my name having too many letters or it being complicated for someone to say. So, and I also consider, you know, for though my mom calls me Kia. Kia is my nickname. So when people call me Kia, I'm actually extending, you know, grace to you and saying like, you know, I'd like for you to talk to me like how my friends talk to me. So, you know, feel free to call me Kia. But yeah, that story carried a lot of just like, ugh, when I get older, I'm going to change it. And I'm glad to have had that Black college experience that helped me appreciate my name.
Yeah. Like, I didn't get a chance to go to HBCU, but growing up in D.C., I was right next to one with Howard University, and I used to sneak around campus and get some of that Black love through different parties and different events that would happen there. So the real question is, when the kids grow up, where are they going to school?
You know, haven't talked about that. That's a good question.
You know, dad got strong opinions, I'm sure.
I'm down for Howard. I've always wanted to live in the DMV area, so I'm open to following them if they decide to go.
You rooting for another HBCU?
Like, I'm just saying I'm not closed off to Morehouse. I'm not closed off to, I have two boys, so then they obviously wouldn't go to Spelman. I'm not, you know, Xavier, I'm open for sure. Right. I want them to be happy and, you know, to the point of names again, their name is Ali and Asim. So they have some power behind their names as well that they need to make sure they stand up to. So, you know, I am going to respect their decision. And if it's the DMV area, I'm there. I want a reason to have to move there.
So, I love it. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the love, too. So yeah, let's talk about you and your career journey, because I know me and you both in the D&I space. We both have a strong HR background and so forth. I never got a chance to really talk to you. How did you get into the world of HR? Because I feel like our career, or at least for me, I didn't graduate and or from high school or college, like, I'm going to go into HR. It just so happened I got here. I don't know. What was the journey like for you? How did you get into HR?
So my road to human resources, I kind of felt like I have a master's in education. Mm-hmm. And my concentration is in management. And I found myself on this just career path that was stuck in higher ed. So I had done like student recruitment. I had done some academic advisement, and I continued to want to like revamp this box that other HR people were putting me in and assuming that I could only do higher ed or K through 16, you know, education support, when I wanted to do staff development. You know, I wanted to do corporate America learning and development. And so what I was finding was I was just hitting these roadblocks. I was put in a box, and I finally said, you know what, I think what will get me out of this would be if I went and got into human resources, some type of human resources education. And because I already had this master's and all these student loans, I said, what's the easiest track to kind of get this ball rolling? And so I went the certificate route. At Capella University. And Capella University has a certificate called Human Resources Management Post-Baccalaureate Certificate. Mm-hmm. So instead of me going to go get another master's or another bachelor's, or I don't even know, is there a doctorate in human resources? I don't know. But nonetheless, instead of going that route, which seemed cost-effective to me and less time, was the certificate program. But the good thing about it, and the way I tell individuals when I'm in the interview process, is that it's the post-baccalaureate, meaning you have to have completed a bachelor's program, and it's a master's level courses. And so if I wanted to complete the certificate, I'm sorry, if I wanted to go back and get a master's in human resources, they are graduate level courses. And so I could just finish the program out and apply those credit hours to a master's program. So they're master level courses, and it was a fast paced accelerated certificate program. I think I got it in about 15 months. Shout out to the 4.0 GPA. And I said, this is going to be it, you know, and it kind of was it a little bit. That was kind of what got people to stop focusing on the, you know, higher ed and K through 12 experience. And from there, I started working at Scripps Health. I'm sorry, UCSD. And ironically, I started out as a temp. I was like, you know what? It's time to be humble. You moved back to San Diego. You thought it was going to be different because you got your little master's degree, and it wasn't. It was hustle time. And unlike Atlanta, you can't like hustle with three and four little small jobs to pay the bills. You got to have a job. So I said, well, let me get in the door at UCSD and let me do this temp job with learning management systems, which is, you know, overseeing. It's a system that oversees staff training. You're familiar with it. It's where you can schedule your employees' staff and training in the learning management system, and you can kind of keep a record of courses they completed. And so I was managing the LMS as an administrator at UCSD Health System. From there, they asked me to start creating some courses, some e-learnings, start teaching some new hires. And then that kind of then evolved into more like onboarding training. And I was able to kind of push down some of that K through 16 resume with mm-hmm. that temp job that kind of turned into a permanent job. And now, like, I'm full-fledged instructional designing, LMS admin, staff development, which is kind of what sprinkled my way to launching my LLC.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Because a lot of people often ask me, yo, how did you get into here? I've been always wanting to get in here. And I realize everybody has a different journey on how they got mm-hmm. there. Because for me, I didn't go your route. I was in... My master's is in organizational development. Bachelor's is in marketing because I thought I was going to do a lot of sales and marketing because at the time my folks told me, oh, you got the gift of gab, boy, you need to start going in there and sell, right? So I was like, all right, what can I do something that's general that, but I don't want to be a sleazy salesperson. Right. I want to help people. Right. mm-hmm. And then went the education route and then started doing workforce development and then workforce development got me to working with HR professionals, which got me into HR to do different workforce development programs.
And that's interesting because some people did break through. I know a lot of people who did HR and they're not in HR. They still didn't get that golden opportunity, but want to be in HR. So I consider us blessed and like you said, able to make an impact in our roles in our workplace community.
Yeah, absolutely. So in your journey, I feel you got those technical skills and you got everything as far as education wise. But I love the fact that even in your journey of talking about it, you tell the story of like how that humble beginning, humble pie, you know, I didn't start off here. I worked, you know, as Drake would say, started from the bottom. Now we here, right? And then you got your foot and exposure into.
Yes.
What would you say was your success to that? Were you networking with folks that got you into the next thing? Or did you just start there and then every time the opportunity came up, you reapplied to this new opportunity? What was that ladder to success that finally got you into, you know, HR and building out those programs and those trainings and those learnings when you have never really done it at a corporate level or a professional level before?
That is a good question. I'd say it was a gumbo of several different things that I did. One would be adopting mentors along the way and doing what I call non-job opening interviews. So just like informational interviews and asking people like yourself, like, is there anyone in your network that you think I can talk to see how they navigated their career? And I can remember those testimonies to this day. Like, you know, maybe one person gave me a nugget of what to do differently with my resume. Maybe someone else just told me about a story about grit and sacrifice. And it just kept me, you know, it kept me humble, but kept me thriving. Someone else may have given me an informational interview with a colleague of theirs who was like, you know, if I were you, I would do this. I would pick these classes and, you know, just whatever recommendations they may have had. You know, one person specifically who was like a VP in HR at Scripps told me, when I'm in a room with other colleagues, the thing that got me through, you know, to where I am right now is I think that people know that when they come to me, I am a subject matter expert of one to two things. I don't speak just to speak. I don't just open up, you know, conversations just to be heard. People know that I am an expert of this thing. So figure out, out of all the things that you learned, what are you an expert at? And I can say right now, learning management systems and instructional design. Like, is it Adobe Captivate or is it Rise? I don't need to get into, maybe I do need to figure out which system am I an expert at. But it's like, pick something and stick with it. Don't have this junky resume with all these different things. So that's just one side of the gumbo. Another side of the gumbo is, you know, like yourself, you have a background in marketing. I have a background in communications. And so I would look at my resume as if, you know, taking my own self out of the resume and thinking about what would someone else want to see in the resume. And so I learned to have different resumes. If I wanted to go back to higher ed, which there were times that I did have to do that, whether it was temp or summer gig, Upward Bound, I taught a couple of classes. I had different resumes. So, that's just using my background in communications, and there's little sprinkles of marketing in there where I just said, you know what, I need to have separate resumes. And then now that I have this D&I piece that attaches to my HR, again, completely different emphasis on certain words, on certain things that I did in that job on my resume to make sure I'm getting the best bang if I'm going for a D&I job, still using the HR stuff. So just taking nuggets from different resume tips. Yeah. And then also I took some freebies like, hey, do you mind if I, you know, like Adobe Captivate, again, I started in that role as a temp. I didn't come in as an e-learning developer. And I self-taught myself that system. And once I did that, it was like the doors just came open. Like, oh, I'll be willing to try something else. I'll practice it at home. I'll sign up for a free trial so I don't charge the organization any money and, you know, present something to them that I just created. So that was another way to kind of got my resume to start looking more like a corporate learning and development professional.
Yeah. Now, when you were telling me this, when you were talking about the picking that like profession or that thing you're expert at, and I now recall some of the conversations that we had around LMS and you schooling me on some things, and I'm like, look, I'm not the LMS expert.
We're asking you some questions about how did the counties work. Yes.
I was like, I just use the system. I'm not the expert in the system.
I don't create it. And that was because that was an opportunity where I was bringing in skills that I had. I wasn't necessarily being flagged the LMS person either, but I was looking to see if that was something that I could help leverage to kind of streamline and get that department to current state. Yeah. Instead of working harder. But I do remember
like when you were talking like, oh, you know, that's a great idea. I don't know anything about like the LMS systems like that. I just know we use it and that's how we use it. But it sounds good, but I just don't know how to do it.
and that's okay. And that's what she told me. You know, there's just some things, don't try to be everything to everybody because you lose credibility. I'll never forget that. And that is true. When she walks in the room, you notice her. And when she speaks, people listen. And so that's the kind of leader I want to be, that, you know what, when they come to me, they know they're going to get an answer about what I'm good at and what I'm a resource for. And that what I am not, I don't try to make excuses and try to be, you know, the savior of everything, because it just, you know, it's just not a good look. And I think sometimes first generation college graduates, first generation career, BIPOC people, we don't have those mentors helping us with navigating spaces about, you know, am I pitching too much? Am I trying to do too much? Am I so focused on being, what's that new word we're saying? Imposter syndrome. Am I too focused on the imposter syndrome that I'm trying to speak every time I'm in a room with important people? She kind of confirmed for me that it's okay not to do that. But the caveat is to be an expert of what you are an expert of.
Yeah. And I think the piece of advice you gave is not only helpful in career, but it's helpful in business too. It will help you excel, transcend, and really elevate your business when you can niche down to your ideal customer, your market, your thing that you're good at. And I think a lot of people when they start their career or business, they have trouble doing this, and you've been able to do that successfully watching you in your journey. First, tell me about the like, you know, how did you, first things first, about that journey of transitioning. Let's talk about the transitioning, you transitioning from the corporate world to career. How was that journey for you, and how were you able to like successfully just it appeared to me that you successfully just transitioned so seamlessly to corporate world, to, you know, starting and running your own business.
Okay.
Yeah, entrepreneurship. How were you, what made you decide to do it? How did you do it? And let's start there. What made you do it and how did you decide to do it?
Yeah, what made me do it was actually working at the county and realizing, hey, in my role, I'm staff development specialist and we aren't working smarter. We don't have access to LMS. Like as a employee, as a learner, I can go and take LMS courses, but I could not assign or create e-learnings and assign them to new hires as the staff development specialist. So that was my first thing, like, whoa, okay, the department is not current with quickly turning around learning outside of requisition in this room, sitting in the room for 4 hours. We got to turn the lights on. We have to have computers plugged in. We got to bring snacks. Someone physically has to be in person. And so that means that's a salaried person that has to do instructional orientation versus some of it could be offboarded or, you know, done via e-learning. Well, when the pandemic happened, as you remember, that was one of my inbox messages to you. We were kind of sent home with like, not really sure what the plan was. So that happened in the workplace. If we had new hires coming, we didn't know how we were going to onboard them in regards to training. So that was the first space where I was like, okay, we're not instructional design. We're not using education technology in even the county right now, not from the HR level, but in the division level or department level, I forget the terminology, to train new hires. That's a miss. Then my son, who was in 3 to 4 year old classroom for students who had an IEP, early diagnosis of different special education or invisible disabilities or visible disabilities. And he was in that court. He was in that classroom and he was sent home with no real plan on how he was going to continue to get his behavioral support, his developmental support, his speech support, his cognitive gross motor. So, and then he also had occupational therapy just for like learning how to do certain things like self-feed and not choke on solids. And he was in so many different services. So now you have corporate America, there's a gap. K through 12, there's a gap. Then now I'm trying to get him in his doctor's appointments. And that was a gap. There was no way he can get his therapy appointment virtually. No one was virtual. All three of those spaces lacked the technology to give the support either to the parents to teach the child or to the HR person to teach the staff. As I just told you, my track is now corporate instructional design. I have done these e-learnings. I have done virtual learning from Zoom or Skype or what have you. And I have been wondering, what is my generational wealth space? I'm in education. I'm in HR. Like, how does that turn into generational wealth? Well, honestly, I don't know how many other people have been able to say that the pandemic was my answer. It was like, this is what I do. This is what I'm a subject matter expert of. And there's clearly a need at Rady's Children, at Poway Unified School District, and at the County of San Diego, where if there was someone to turn around, I mean, we couldn't just ask you all to create all these e-learnings for our new hires. And so that was the caveat that lit the match. And I literally got on my computer. So to the how, I got on my computer. I went to Microsoft Word. I looked at templates and there's business proposal checklist template. And I just started filling in the questions. What, why, mission, values, funding, services, revenue. Like it literally just asked you all the necessary questions to creating a business proposal. And it literally took me probably 3 evenings because I had 2 little ones at home where I just started filling in those answers. And because I had been an instructional designer, that's someone who creates education and training virtually in a information system software, technology software. I can take a PowerPoint and turn it into an e-learning. I was able to spit out how I could do all of that easy. Now, the finance part was the part that was in question. It wasn't necessarily easy because I had 2 kids at home. I had one that was 1 year old. So the daycare closed. And so he was running around on his iPad. I had a four-year-old who was out of 3 different services, which is, you know, I just want to bring light to the fact that, you know, the pandemic really did not consider our special learners, our disability audience. The pandemic didn't discriminate, but I'm saying in terms of like taking the mask off and things like that, it hasn't been really evaluated considering our at-risk individuals. And so, you know, even for those parents who were stuck at home with their kids on Zoom in tears, imagine how I was feeling when he had to stop all of his therapy services at the crucial age of 3 and a half going into 4. My husband was at home. We were all packed in here on top of each other with no plan of how we were going to get through this pandemic. So It definitely wasn't easy.
Yeah, that's when you say the struggle was real.
Real.
It got real. Real, real.
Yeah, but it was. It's a pandemic. It's a pandemic. Not pandemic free. Yeah, pandemic free business. Like, you know, if a pandemic happens again, I can't be shut down. It would, you know, it could be nothing more but more business opportunities for me. So it actually worked in my favor, and the light bulb went off. Like, this is your entrepreneurship track. So,
because like everybody needed to go virtual at that point and figure out how to create, you know, digital learnings, digital resources that could help shift not only the culture, but the way we do business. So like that was a perfect prime opportunity. And I think it's still a prime opportunity, as you say, you know, and I love the fact that you, you know, you looked at that problem as an opportunity. And I think that's the best type of business model you can have when you can find the opportunity in the problem and help solve problems for people. Makes you so valuable, makes your business so valuable. And I think that's exactly what you've able to do. With your business. So tell me how you came up with the name for this. I know you took me through how you sat there, did all the paperwork. How did the name come about? Then how did you start to then, you know, go out, develop your clients and then really make a name for yourself?
So to the name with this, yeah, you're really good at this interview thing. So the name story, Champion Instructors. So my oldest son, the one that I was referring to, his name is Asim, and that's Arabic for champion. He was my miracle baby. Yeah, he was my miracle baby. And I mentioned a little bit earlier that I helped co-write the July is Uterine Fibroid Awareness Month for California. I think I gave the whole title. And so I have a story behind uterine fibroids, and I, you know, we weren't sure about fertility. And so he is my miracle baby. And the second one is my miracle baby too. But, you know, that first child, especially if it's difficult and a challenge. And so uterine fibroids are benign tumors, but you know, you don't know at the time if they're going to be cancerous. And so you got to kind of go through it, get the biopsy and all that until you finally get the news that it's non-cancerous. And they grow in the womb of the uterus. And so his story is a story of triumphant and celebration. And so we named him Asim for champion. And so we are Champion Instructors Education and Training. And so the theme, if you go to my Instagram, Champion Instructors Education and Training, or my LinkedIn or Facebook, same name, it's chalkboard. Charcoal gray with the old school chalkboard, even though I'm using technology. So I'm kind of tying in that chalkboard as an educator. The Champion Instructors Education and Training is like in yellow chalk. And so my wedding colors were charcoal gray and yellow. So there's meaning behind the name and meaning behind the colors. So that's interesting that you asked that. How I get my clients?
Well, you don't have to really go into how you get your clients, you really make your name for yourself as Champion Instructors? Yeah. I mean, the name says it all, but how did you go out there and start to market? Doesn't it?
I mean, I feel like I named it after him, and it makes me proud to use the meaning of Asim in my business. So that's a little bit of that general wealth of hopefully that I'm able to create for both of my sons. Hey. So in terms of getting clients, I would say, honestly, I would think about that HR VP from Scripps. She's no longer there. She's an African-American woman. I would say that I stick to, and I didn't always, we're going to put this little, you know, honest bug out there. I did have some people say, like, Kia, like, that's a lot that you're trying to. I did list three things. Corporate America had challenges. K-16, maybe not 16, because higher ed has been using LMSs and they have been using online learning and Blackboard since I was an undergrad. And that was 20 some years ago. And so or at least they started a little bit after I graduated. I take that back. And then I mentioned corporate America, K-6, K-12, and then telemedicine as it relates to hospital, you know, giving virtual appointments and kind of telling me how to therapy my, you know, give therapy to my son. I then became the therapist via Zoom. You know, I wanted to save all of those different communities and I wanted all of them to be my audience. And I was asking questions from business professionals like, why can't I be Walmart? Like, I want to sell Christmas trees, TVs, bottles, wipes, you know, Tylenol, like, why can't I do that? And it was like, you just, you don't start out doing that. Like, you need to be going back to what she was saying. And like you said, had I thought about it that way, like, who is my audience? Pick one, maybe one and a half, and test that out. Make sure it works. Be an expert in that space first, and then kind of think you can go and be Target and Walmart. What's been working is being an expert, a subject matter expert, offering one to two services to one audience. And mm-hmm. my one audience right now is adult learners. Do I have an itch to go to hospitals and say, hey, I can offer this to you for your virtual, you know, guardian who has no idea how to even get on Zoom, and I can create you, you know, quick start guides or tip sheets on how to tell grandma how to get into her Zoom, because that's education. Yes, I'd like to, but I can't get so caught up in wanting to be everything to everybody mm-hmm. and every industry. And so my audience right now is corporate learners, and being able to stick to that, I think, helps with reputation. I think people yeah. are expecting the same thing versus when I first started, my social media was like, hey, do you have students who blah, 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 blah. Then it was like, hey, like, are you a therapist who needs to create? And I think people didn't understand where I was going, even though I understood it. So that was a learning curve for me, not being a business necessary woman, but being, you know, consulting in the business field of learning and development. It took a different, you know, experience to kind of get that together. And I think what's happening now, because I'm still at the infancy of, you know, creating that name, I think when I'm getting my reviews, mm-hmm. prospective clients are going to go to my reviews and they're going to better understand who I am, what we're doing, what we offer, and what problems we solve. If I'm all over the place with the Walmart philosophy, they're going to be like, okay, well, that's not me. Let me just log off and not pay attention to her site.
Yeah, because that clear messaging helps customers not be confused and dial in.
Yeah.
Right? And then once
it helps me with my marketing too. It helps me not like create all this social media for three different viewers, you know, and maybe that was a little bit of greed or just excitement. But that I think that happens when you're new. And I think that depending on who gave me the message, how I heard it. Mm-hmm. And so it took several people to have
to kinda... all new entrepreneurs to tell you the truth. There's only a few of us that don't niche. We start off with this grandioso idea brought down. Mm-hmm. And then we have to pivot or narrow down mm-hmm. Until we, you know, keep getting it right. And sometimes you're still in that phase, as you're in the growth phase, you have to decide, do I still stay in this niche or do I pivot to this? Or am I adding this as a component? Like you're still in that evolution phase. I don't think it ever fully ends, because if it ends, then you end up like the Blockbusters and the red boxes who refuse to
Blockbuster. Innovate. You didn't take us back to Blockbuster.
Yeah. You know, some of us know that you refuse to pivot, innovate, and then, you know, change as the needs of, you know, your business change, your clients change mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love that. I'm thinking to myself, like, man, with all the different powerful names, life lessons, education that you have in your lifetime, what would you say is one good lesson life has taught you?
One good lesson life has taught me. Maybe, is it business or personal, or it could be either?
It could be either or.
I think the pandemic taught me that it's important to take, I know this probably sounds like, wow, that's the life lesson. I think the pandemic taught me to really take time out.
Oh, no, that's a good lesson.
Okay. Because I look back and I'm like, I have given companies years. I have given them blood, sweat, and tears. And over the past 6 years, I have made past 8 years, I have not taken a real vacation.
Oh, wow.
And I've always been like, oh, well, you know, I'll take a 2-week vacation here. Or I'll do it. And then it's like, I have babies and that's not a vacation. Like, that's maternity leave. Like, let's be clear. That ain't no vacation. Mm. And the pandemic happened, and then you could, but the way that my anxiety was set up, I was like, we're not going nowhere. Mm. We barely still go anywhere today. And when we do, we have on a mask. So I just wish I had spent more quality time with my family or with myself, because that's okay too. Just being off and taking the time off. I think little spurts of massages and going to the gym and, you know, girls' night out and a comedy show. Yes, that is wellness. But those 2 week vacations or whatever your company gives you, the PTO, that you end up not taking because you're like, oh, I'll take it when, 8 years it's been. And I probably wouldn't have felt so exhausted like when the pandemic happened, if I had been annually or, you know, every 2 years really doing myself a service of just being out of email, out of text messaging, off of social media, and just taking that quality time to enjoy life. Even if it was a staycation, really doing that, not taking on home jobs and, you know, oh, we're going to fix this room up. And like, no, time off. Because the world stopped and forced me to be still.
Yeah. And I think that's a lesson that a lot of people learned. I learned that myself and I'm still learning, you know, just pause and just, you know, spend time with self. And I think I saw a study the other day where it talked about mental health is at an all time high and with everything that's going on in the world today. And that, man, we're going to need a lot of therapy in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming of everything that's going on in our society. Yeah.
I recommend it. I'm an advocate. I am a participant. And it doesn't have to be something that's scary, or it's wellness too. And some of the sessions go well, some of them don't. And that's how it should be. That's how it should be. And it does me no good to say I'm all these things on my resume if I don't take this lesson, this life lesson, and really apply it. You know, I think a lot of us from the BIPOC community are constantly trying to prove and constantly trying to achieve and working on being, what's that? There's another new term, high functioning, and still like achieving just middle management. And we're just, you know, we're putting so much energy into a lot of things. You know, I don't want it to take a pandemic again for me to say that, you know, well, I was able to turn everything off and kind of just be still for a minute on my own terms, you know.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that also helps in the like, even when you can stand still for a minute, it helps you to pause and gain clarity on what it is truly value, what it is you truly want, and then focus that energy. So there is some value into pausing, which you've clearly been able to do to transition and start this amazing business that's going to help a lot of other people. Now, what's some advice you would, because you're clearly going to inspire somebody, some young girl, somebody who's in their mid-level career who's like, man, Kia preaching the business right now. I've been had this idea that I should have been, I'm a following her footsteps. What's some advice you would give to somebody who specifically might want to get into you know, the space that you're in, right? And start a consulting business to help others, maybe whether it be create curriculum, create marketing materials, create, I don't know, educational design or whatever it is they want to create to help people. What's some advice you would give to somebody like that?
Sure. Some advice I would give is, because I am from the art side of the brain and not so much business necessarily, even though I've gotten a lot of coursework and case studies where I've had to, you know, get my feet wet with some business case studies and whatnot, I would say these accelerator programs are definitely, you know, fast track little, you know, certificate. When I say little, I'm talking about the time frame, 6 week, 9 week accelerator programs. I would definitely take advantage of those, especially if you don't have a business background, because you don't know what you don't know. And I also think when you're a solo entrepreneur, what's definitely helping me, because there are times where I'm like, look to my left, I don't have a colleague, look to my right, I have a partner, but you know, she's not like an active, like day to day, we're working on the same things all the time. And so what's been helping me is that I am in network with other entrepreneurs, and especially like I'm on a board for Black Entrepreneurs, Leaders and Learners. And it just allows me to just hear other struggles, hear other accomplishments, and be able to bounce like, hey, I have this new person. Does she need an I-9 or a W-2 or a W-9? Not a W-2. But like, what do I need to do to onboard her? Like, I may know this kind of stuff from an HR perspective, but what about as an LLC? Mm-hmm. The marketing and the sales, those are things like, you know, I don't just naturally know that stuff from an LLC owner. So being in company with other entrepreneurs and going to those monthly meetings and hearing other people speak and then asking questions, we specifically have through Bell mastermind sessions. Mm. I sometimes listen to some of the entrepreneurs that you've interviewed. And even if I'm just riding the car, I have gone on Clubhouse and listened and gone to specific like little listening sessions. I've gone to Eventbrite and gone to different listening sessions that are based on my niche industry. And then I also follow influencers who are doing well, like, and I thumbs them up. I like their post. I turn a little notification bell on. I don't steal their content, but I definitely take their resources that they give out when they're educating and I use them for my greater good because I'm still learning. I'm still at that early stage of learning. Yeah. So I would say, networking. I'm also recently joined the San Diego, I believe it's San Diego County Black Chamber, and then the North San Diego Chamber of Commerce. And so I believe as BIPOC entrepreneurs, don't limit yourself to just BIPOC, you know, networks. You gotta get out there and see, hey, the money is green, so get there. And I mean, be a part of both. I'm not saying don't be a part of the BIPOC owned. I'm not saying that. However, you know, see what you don't know about another group of individuals and how they're navigating and what they do differently. Observe, take notes, network. And so that's what I am literally doing right now. And I can come back in a year and tell you how that worked out for me. But because I'm a solo LLC owner, I need to hear other people speak my same language. It keeps me motivated, keeps me grounded, and keeps me humble.
Yeah, and I say the same thing for me. It inspires me to hear all the stories of fellow entrepreneurs like yourself, people that look like me going through it, being successful. And that's a blueprint for success right there. And thank you for listening to Little LS. Hercules.
I listened to some of your guest speakers. That's what it's for. That's free content sitting out there to just suck up. And, you know, I'll save it and go back. If I can't sit through the whole hour, I'll go back and listen to it again. And it's healthy confirmation when you don't have a coworker to bounce ideas off of, because it'll get lonely and it'll get, especially if you work in a 9-to-5. Now, that's a whole nother session. And I need somebody to talk to me about that.
I don't think we got time for that talk right there. We might have to say that for another time.
Working 9-to-5 and managing, you know, and how to do that transition. But yeah, so suck up the free Eventbrites and listen to your podcast. And I mean, you're doing it like you're part of different groups as well. Your bio doesn't just say I am in the Black MBA program or organizational development program. So yeah.
So what do you think? Because, you know, obviously we're in this for the long haul. We got a vision of what we would like our businesses and what our career to look like in the future. But when you look at the future of the work that you do, specifically talking about the equity, diversity and inclusion space and professional development space, where you're going to be creating content for, what does the future look like for the BIPOC community in these spaces?
It's interesting you ask that too, because I feel like I haven't touched on the diversity and inclusion. One of the things that my sweet spot in what makes me different from Udemy or Capella University or some of those evergreen locations where you can go and pick out classes, Eventbrite, where there's somebody selling their course, is that I create tailor-made courses. I'm not saying I'll never create evergreen courses where you can just video on demand and watch my e-learnings, but they are specifically to that organization. So like if you are looking to create a course about your expertise, I will create one for you to sell to your audience. And yes, that was a plug for you entrepreneurs out there. The thing that makes me different in also doing that and making it tailor-made to your audience and to you as the subject matter expert is that I feel it's important to keep my curriculum diverse and inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I also feel it's important to do a accessibility check-in. So like, where are your mm-hmm. audiences? Do they have access to computers? Do they have Wi-Fi? You know, there's no point in making something for a particular audience and they don't have that accessibility. And so those check-ins are important to me because I believe in the learner getting it. I don't want them struggling through my curriculum. And so I like to have an understanding of what is their background? What is their native language? So that the curriculum speaks to them. If the mm-hmm. curriculum is always making the doctor a male and not a female, well, there's some gender bias there. So how can I make sure that the learner is experiencing my curriculum with Malik and Terrell and Kia as the characters in the scenario, and let Kia be the doctor and let Terrell be the nurse or the medical assistant, mm-hmm. or let the woman be the engineer and the male be the babysitter. I'm just making this up, but I definitely use that in my curriculum to make sure it's inclusive. I make sure that the visibility of the characters, their ethnicity looks different. And there's a range of ethnicity and there's color and dynamic and there's identity representation. And that's very important to me because then I'm able to put in my social media equity and access and inclusivity. I'm able to use my influence mm-hmm. for making an impact in spaces that I may not just be getting on the microphone and saying, hey, you are doing this No Child Left Behind program and you are not considering of special needs students. Or, hey, as a Bank of America, this is not a real scenario, but you're offering these trainings and you have not considered the individual who is hard of hearing or has vision impairment. Have you considered closed captioning? And so I am D&I in my work in that way. That's my way of being inclusive. I do bring that when I work my 9-to-5s as well, because I think students are not going to have that aha moment if they can't relate, mm-hmm. if the curriculum is not relative to them and it doesn't represent who they are. Why would they care about anything that you're teaching them if it's a waste of their time and it's not something they can connect to? So when I am making that connection, people are paying attention. And so they don't mind sitting through an hour curriculum and they can call back. You know what? I'm going to be more productive at work because that curriculum made sense to me because I got it. And I got it because Kia sprinkled in inclusivity and identity and, you know, I removed microaggressions and all that good stuff. And so when I am working and I am the D&I champion representative in an organization, I carry all of that with me and I speak to those spaces because I believe that's just something that I'm called to do, even if you didn't pay me to do it. I don't know if I remember your question.
Amen from the organization. Amen. Amen, over amen, here amen. Preaching the truth right now. And you know, amen. I love everything that you said because it really highlights. And look, my voice wants to go out as soon as I'm trying to get my point across. But you know, representation matters just so much, whether it's accessibility or relatability. Mm-hmm. Me being able to see myself in this training, in this mm-hmm. materials, whether it's from having the access to it to me looking like the person that I wish and dream and hope to become one day. When we don't have that, we get a whole generation that's like, you know, I don't know if that's for me. And then we have, you know, those children go to be adults with limiting beliefs about what they can mm-hmm. do and be mm-hmm. because they haven't seen it before. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to highlight in our podcast. So many different people being amazing with their natural talents and gifts and abilities that wasn't harnessed or maybe harnessed at some point in life. And they were able to turn that into a business and career, which some of these folks out here that should be doing it that are not doing it because they just cannot see themselves or they have the means or don't see anybody that look like them that's doing it. And so let this be a testimony to you. If you can see it, you can achieve it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not on that screen, hopefully we'll get it on the screen or that story be told someday. And hopefully that story is you. Mm-hmm. Let's end off like this because I know me and you can speak forever, but I try to keep this in the drive time. Mm-hmm. What is some things that you are currently working on and where can people find you?
Okay, so you can find me, you can email me at Kia, KIA, at Champion Instructors.com. with an S.com. My website is www.championinstructors.com. You can find me also on LinkedIn at Kia Edwards, K-I-A, Edwards, E-D-W-A-R-D-S. And what am I working on right now? I am just rolling off a project with an amazing company that has been great. And I recently just completed a 2D animated explainer video. These are like 1 to 3 minutes or less little snippet videos that can be used to train clients, train staff. They can go back and watch them again. So those are some other like software tools I use is the 2D animated explainer video software. And I've just finished one with the San Diego County Black Chamber. I believe it's county now. I am supporting BEL, Black Entrepreneurs, Leaders, and Learners, with some organizational stuff. I am on the board, but they needed some recent work to be done. And so, you know, again, as the hustler that I am offering Champion Instructors to help get some of their organization stuff together. And I got a couple proposals sitting out in space to do some HR stuff. You know, sometimes it's not e-learnings that I'm doing, but like staff onboarding manuals. And so that still is training and development. And so those proposals I'm kind of waiting to hear back for. So, yeah, I got a couple of pots boiling. Like I said, one I'm rolling off, one I'm waiting to hear back. And then I'll be busy working with Bell over the summer. I just recently completed a good amount of work for getting the state of California certified, city certified businesses, minority owned businesses and women owned businesses and economically disadvantaged business certs. I'm literally like this close from that being completed. So I'm excited about that. I already have those federal certs. So I'm hoping to get some county contracts coming in and bids coming in that way. So every eye on the stove is on. Some of the hot, some on low, but they're on. Right. And and all that other stuff I mentioned before, still doing that. I support Poway Unified School District and their Special Education Committee. I'm on that committee to make sure I'm able to have a voice in the room for special education BIPOC students. I am specifically, you know, passionate about that identity group. And busy. Booked and busy.
Stay busy.
Not too booked busy for busy. More clients though. Not too busy.
So yeah, I hear that. She booked and busy, but not too busy for more clients. Yeah. So if you need some help with that.
On. They're not boiling over. The eyes are on. So
yeah, definitely reach out. Connect with my girl Kia because she is amazing at what she does.
Thank you.
And I am a fan and I can't wait to see what good gumbo you gonna keep making in this kitchen with all these.
My gumbo is nice too.
Oh, okay.
I gotta get y'all one day. You and wifey and the family, I'll make you awesome. And it's no pork, so I got you.
No, for sure, for sure, for sure. So, Kia, thank you for spending this time with us. If you all were driving and you didn't get the information, don't worry. I'm going to put it all in the show notes. So I'm going to get that information from her so you can connect with her and learn more and see what she's doing and what she's up to. Kia, any last words of wisdom for the people before we head out?
Be grateful. And as one of the Bell VP president says, and wash your hands. Wash your hands. I want to say keep a mask
be
on.
Be grateful and wash your hands.
People be mad Ms. about Rona the mask thing. But at least wash your hands. Keep your hands clean. Because it's still out here. Rona is still booked and busy too.
Keep your hands clean. Get the sanitizer when you can't find soap and water.
Yeah, be grateful. There's so much to be grateful for. And wash your hands.
Yes. Man, so be grateful and wash your hands. I'm gonna take that with me all day today. So thank you, Kia. I appreciate you so much.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate you too.
And then for everybody who's listening, I'll put the show notes in and we'll catch you on the next time.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Rise Urban Nation.
Thank you for taking the journey.
Be sure to like, comment, and smash that subscribe button. And stay connected with Terrell on and off the show. Follow at Rise Urban Nation on all platforms.
Do what you love, love what you do. Don't chase the money, let the money chase you.